cancer diagnosis at the age of 32, my mom and I talked a lot about the shock of that diagnosis, given several doctors told us you're too young to have endometrial cancer. After much discussion, we began to feel driven to inform and help educate other young women about what symptoms they should be concerned.
Having both been teachers, it seemed natural for us to look for a way to share Alex's cancer journey in order to help other young women avoid such a shocking diagnosis or possibly navigate a similar path. A podcast seemed the best way to get the word out, and that's how Down There Aware was born.
4 years later, our mother-daughter duo has gone from educating and informing to advocacy and action, with a fresh and sometimes very interesting and somewhat humorous multi-generational perspective.
We look forward to sharing with you season 4 as we advocate, take action, and make it a priority to always be
Down There Aware.
Welcome back to another episode of Down There Aware, episode 4, season 4.
Wow.
Chugging along. It's the end of February.
That it is.
Kind of crazy that this year's just, I say that every year, racing by. We're almost into March. So we had a lot going on this week. What were you up to this week?
Well, I got to babysit my grandpuppy because you went on a trip.
I was out of town. I was on a work trip. So I was in Jacksonville just for one night. So it was a pretty quick trip to go over there and do some work and then head back. But I'm very grateful that mom and dad love Sadie as much as I do, if not
Sadie
more.
Sadie loves to stay with her Nana and Pep.
Yes, she does. She absolutely does. So we still think Pappy's her favorite person.
Yes. It's frustrating, but she does love him the most.
She does. She really does. But I'm very grateful that they are so willing and able to take care of her. It allows me to travel for work, which is nice.
And it allows us to have some time with her. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we can spoil her.
Definitely. We had our first planning meeting for our official nonprofit.
Oh, our first long range planning. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun. And I think, you know, we have a lot of irons in the fire that we, not to be that person who's like, I can't tell you right now, but I have stuff, we're working on stuff, but we really are. There are quite a few things that we're working on that we're really excited to bring forward once we're able to.
Well, we got over a big hurdle by getting the nonprofit, you know, legitimized and kind of getting that off the ground. And now that that's set, there are things we want to do. We didn't really want to go forward too much until we knew that happened.
Yeah, there are definitely some things that it would be putting the cart before the horse if we had, you know, done certain things before we had that official stamp from Uncle Sam saying you are tax exempt. So we're very excited about that.
Well, I think it helps us go from our information and education phase to our action phase. Mm-hmm. That allows us to, you know, jump in with both feet, I think.
Definitely. That's for sure. So we are, part of our planning was, well, what are we going to talk about for the next few weeks? And we have a really exciting series coming up.
Because we have to plan long range.
Because, as I think we've said a million times,
we're going to Germany.
We're going to Germany for 2 weeks. So, you know, we want to enjoy ourselves fully while we're there. So we are planning ahead and have, you know, a whole series planned, which we're really excited about. But it got us thinking too, outside of that, what things do we have to do differently than people who have chronic illness, than the average person might have to do, to take a trip, a long distance trip, trip to another country. And so we thought we would give you some tips and tricks and what has worked for us and what we're planning and hoping to do for our trip coming up.
Yeah, I saw my cardiologist this past week and mentioned to him we have a trip to Germany planned. And I said, you know, is there anything I need to be concerned about? Anything I need to do? And bless his heart, he's just such a sweetheart. The first thing he said was, you need to go and have a good time.
We love him. Oh, he's great.
He's so awesome. And then we talked a little more specifically, but basically, you know, I need to go and have a good time. And Alex and I have planned ahead. She's helped me a lot. Plus, we had this trip planned 3 years ago before COVID messed everything up. And so we had already, like, we already had gotten compression socks.
yeah, just little things like that, that, you know, thinking, okay, what can I buy or how can I prepare? Like, just finding, you know, certain things on your trip. Like, we're going to be on a road trip throughout southern Germany. So, you know, what are rest stops like? How, you know, what do I expect for certain hiccups that might happen, where in the States you might be a little more comfortable, you know, because Alabama road stops are pretty similar to Florida road stops.
Yeah. I mean, we've done our fair share of travel and we know, you know, what to expect as far as rest stops or going through towns, what to look for. And, you know, for me, one of the things, I take Lasix because of my heart failure. And that means I have to stop a lot and
to go to the bathroom.
And so plus I'm supposed to drink a lot to stay hydrated because of my HCM. And so I have that down pat here in the States. We travel down to Cocoa Beach a lot because my son lives there and I know where the rest stops are. And I know how long I can wait for the next one and that kind of thing. And so Alex and I were talking and I said, I'm a little nervous about the accessibility of toilets in Germany. And I can't afford not to take my Lasix. I have to take it. And so, you know, she Googled.
Well, and having traveled to Europe before, it's not like in the States where bathrooms are, you can pretty much walk into almost any store and find a bathroom for free any time of the day that they're open.
In the States.
That is not the case in Europe. Sometimes even if you're eating in a restaurant, you still have to pay for the toilet. And it's just a euro coin, but just making sure that we have enough coins to, you know, do that. And, you know, the couple times I've been to Europe, the only time I really experienced that was in Italy, and it was in a smaller town where we had to pay the attendant for the toilet. But yeah, just little things like that. And then
could be a big thing.
It could be. I mean, like, we may be finding some bushes along the way, even some things like one of mom's medications is refrigerated and she takes it once a week. And so over the time that we'll be there, she will need it twice. And so that was something that I, you know, refrigerators are not always in hotel rooms. And then even if you can guarantee that every place you're staying has a refrigerator, what about the 9-hour flight plus the time in the airport plus? So I did a little bit of research and found an TSA approved little mini.
Yeah, we should have had the
medicine
prop.
Refrigerator. But I mean, you've opened it. I just gave you the box, but describe it.
Well, I haven't opened it. It's still in the box.
Uh-oh, I hope it works.
I do too. That reminds me, I probably need to
test it out.
Probably need to test it out. But yeah, that was a big relief because I can't go without that. Mm-hmm. And it has to be refrigerated. So, you know, that's a nice safeguard we have.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it's this really cool contraption that it looks like it's just a cylinder, but it charges with a USB cord. And then it stays in the battery stays, I think, for 48 hours or something.
It's a long time.
So in the event that there's a flight delay or, like I have experienced before, a complete overnight unexpected stay somewhere. So I feel better about, you know, mom's medication in that regard.
Yeah. Also, Alex upgraded our seats so that for the long overseas trip, we have a, I don't know what it's called, but we get to lie down. We actually can sleep if we can sleep on the plane.
Yeah, it's the Delta One, the lie flat seats. And so it was, you know, I just thought mom has never been overseas. Dad hasn't been overseas since he was a child. Why not? You know, let's make sure that we can start our trek as rested as possible. Because I have done the, you know, when I went to London, we flew in. I didn't sleep a wink on the plane. We landed at like 7 a.m., rented a car immediately, and then drove probably 2 hours to the coast. And on no sleep. I mean, like, this was several years ago, but man, that is not a fun way to travel. And it's hard enough when you're in your late 20s, early 30s. But mom and dad are not in their late 20s or early 30s.
Oh, we are pushing 70. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, for that, sure. Well,
that's going to help a lot. Plus, you know, we need to walk around. The compression socks will help. But HCM causes a lot of issues that you just have to be careful about and, you know, plan ahead. So,
yeah. And planes are already dry environments. And so just making sure that we stay hydrated and are, you know, aware of, you know, the flight can kind of just fly by and then, oh, I haven't had a sip of water, you know, and then you're parched. So just being prepared for that. And then something else that has been important, in particular with mom's diabetes, is making sure we have some kind of snack in an emergent environment. Because what if we get caught in customs, or, you know, we're on in a long line and we can't go have, you know, lunch or whatever, that just packing, making sure we have protein bars and, you know, little snacks to make sure that she can get through, you know, until we can find the next restaurant. Or
gotta keep my blood sugar in check. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was another thing you and I talked about. There's always a chance your luggage can be lost. And so
always
we want to be sure our medications are in our carry-on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I take about 17 pills a day. So I need those, and I have them in little daily containers. And I said to Alex, you know, when I read on the airline website, it says all the pills have to be in their proper bottle. And, you know, I'm not going to carry all those bottles.
Yeah, I think that's mostly for controlled substances. So, you know, if you had like a oxycodone pain medication or something that you were bringing with you, it would need to be in the bottle so that, because those, you know, are sold as street drugs too, those controlled substances. So I think your typical, you know, heart medication and kidney medication, all that, I haven't ever been stopped, and they haven't ever been concerned about that. So
Alex got me a 2-week container. I usually just do it by the week. And so I'll be filling that up. And
if you haven't caught it onto the theme, I really like gadgets, and I like organizing things and travel organizing things. So, yeah, so that has, it's been fun for me to kind of explore and see like what is available, because I've never traveled like this. Like, I don't take that many medications. I don't take any, refrigerated medications. So yeah, it's just been fun for me.
Well, and really it all boils down to planning ahead too, because I just got a text this morning that one of my medications, you know, needs to be refilled, and I checked, and sure enough, I'll have enough to get through like the first half of the first week, but I don't have enough for the whole 2 weeks. So, you know, I need to look at all those little bottles and look ahead. I thought about even just filling up the 2 week thing and, you know, having it taken care of and then going from there.
Yeah, I still need to fill. Sadie takes an allergy pill every day. I still need to fill my dog's prescription.
She's going to be staying.
She's going to stay with my
Will
brother
in Cocoa Beach.
And they're just going to have a blast. We're very excited that
she loves him.
She loves
him. And he loves her.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was just a perfect, it all worked out that he could keep her actually for 3 weeks, because we're going to have to take her a little bit early because we're leaving midweek, and then pick her up the weekend after because we also are getting back midweek. So, but yeah, you know, there are so many when you travel, and even within the states when you travel, like when I went to Texas, I had no clue that my doctor couldn't prescribe me medication.
Oh my gosh.
In Texas to be filled. And that's in the United States, in the same country. It's the same medical board. I mean, because medical boards are national. Like, they're, you know, it's not like you're practicing law in Florida versus practicing law in Alabama. Like, they have different laws and stuff. But, like, medicine's medicine. And so, but to, you know, be in another country where, yes, we've been learning German, and I know, like, Krankenwagen.
Like, take Krankhaus
to, you know, I need the ambulance to take me to the hospital. But I certainly don't speak fluent German, and they speak so quickly.
Yeah.
That so I have to like slow it down where it like goes one word at a time. So, you know, we hope there are no emergencies, but you know, you just never know. Be as prepared as you can be. You know, I am getting together our itinerary and everything's on it. And I'm a little, anybody who's traveled abroad with me has gotten the same packet, but it has all of our hotel information, all of our reservation information for things, as well as any consulate or embassy that's nearby. We have all of their contact information because who knows what's going to happen while we're over there. Hopefully nothing. Hopefully it's just a fun time. But you can't be too prepared.
We like to be prepared. And I'm fortunate we have awesome neighbors who are world travelers themselves. And when they're out of town, we keep an eye on their house and we check their mail every day. And they're going to do that for us. So we have no worries about our house and our mail and that kind of thing. Alex and I have talked about, she has advised me to carry my coat and not pack it. And, you know, we've looked up the weather and it's supposed to be pretty cold in Germany. And we've been, you know, preparing. We live in Florida. We have like a half a second of cool weather every year.
I had to buy almost all new clothes.
Yeah.
Not because like, oh, I need new clothes to go on vacation, but because I don't have warm enough clothes to go,
yeah,
you know, on this vacation.
We just don't, we just don't dress that way, yeah, in Florida. And so we, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth with her, and I said to her, it might have just been today or yesterday, I said, you know, I've been thinking, and I think I'm going to pack my coat because I just don't want to have to drag it around. And you
said, you can do what you want, but I will still advise you that it's worth carrying your coat just because we're going to land in Germany and then have a 45-minute train ride to the main train station in Munich. Then we have a 5-ish, 10-minute walk to our hotel. And that's the first place you can really like
feel it's cold,
you know, breathe a little bit. So any of that time that you don't want to freeze your tail off, you might want your coat. But, you know, and, you know, I was thinking today, I haven't had a really big trip like this, not having a period. And so it, I always used to, as someone who had an erratic period, a really heavy period, irregular, like I would pack like almost a whole box of pads every time I went somewhere for any time other than a couple days, even if I had just ended my period or whatever, and just to be prepared. But it's kind of nice not having to worry about that part. But
yeah, but your last time you traveled with a period was horrific.
It was horrific. I mean, that was right before I was diagnosed, right before my DNC. And it, you know, it was really, really terrible. And frankly, had the airline, the flight attendants not been so kind, I don't know what I would have done. My flight got all messed up and I ended up being rebooked the next day. And I had purposefully booked an aisle seat because I knew I needed to get up and go to the bathroom frequently on this international flight from Amsterdam to Atlanta. And when they rebooked all of us, we all got middle seats. And so I usually wouldn't ask for favors, but I went right up and I said, "Hey, I have a medical condition. If there is any way that I can not be in a middle seat, I'll sit anywhere on the plane. I'll be in the very way back. But if I could get an aisle seat, I would really greatly appreciate it just for my neighbors so that I wasn't climbing over them." And just before the cabin door closed, the flight attendant came up to me and said, "We have a seat for you." And not only did she have a seat for me, it was an incredibly comfortable seat. It was right near the restroom. I mean, like, they really, really accommodated me. So shout out to KLM. We love them. So it'll be interesting to just travel like a normal human. I haven't been able to do that ever.
Well, I'm hoping we leave here around noonish and go to Atlanta. And that's not a very long flight at all.
I love the Atlanta airport.
I do too. I love
some people hate it, but I love it.
I love it too. And you know, if you travel out of Florida, you know, you just about have to go through Atlanta no matter where you're going. Especially if you're going out of Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. So we're excited. Less than 2 weeks.
Is it? Wow. I can't even wrap my head around it.
Yeah. It's almost hard to believe because
we waited so long and I'm still kind of just waiting for, you know, President Biden to get on TV and say, "Actually, you can't go."
Oh.
That
was a surreal night when we finally looked at each other and said, "We're not going to be able to go. All our bags are packed.
Yeah. You know, and the dog was at the vet. Everything was ready. So, but this trip, we're really looking forward to it. And, you know, so just, I think the message for people with chronic illness or people with health conditions who are traveling is just to make sure you think ahead.
Yeah.
Think, you know, try to think about different scenarios that could happen. And I think your doctor gave you the best advice, was just give yourself grace.
Yeah. Because, those were his exact words. You know, give yourself grace.
Don't push yourself. And I have, you know, traveled with groups where before I was diagnosed with HCM, where, you know, I would be walking with them up a hill or something and I would be huffing and puffing and not understanding like why was I like this and nobody else was. And I mean, climbing the Great Wall of China, I remember I had to take so many breaks and all my peers, I mean, I was 21 and all my peers were just passing me by and I didn't understand what it was. Now I know it was a chronic health condition. But just, you know, give yourself grace. If you have to rest, you have to rest.
If you have to say, "No, I can't do that," you just, you can't feel badly about it. You just give yourself grace
and enjoy what you can do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's something that we're really looking forward to is, I like to plan travel where there are some things we have reserved and we're doing, but there's a lot of time for us to just kind of experience each city we're going to be in. So it gives us a little bit of time and grace and, that we can just kind of relax and enjoy it.
Yeah. So we're excited.
Yeah, we are. But look forward to our series. I'm really excited about that coming up. The next 5 weeks are all in that series. Sadie has joined us. Sadie. There may have been a little cut there, but Sadie has joined us.
She wants a back scratch.
She just wants a back scratch with her tail hitting her in the face. Well, so we'll tell you a little bit about what's coming up in the next 5 weeks after this week. That's kind of crazy, but Sadie.
It's okay.
But we thought, since we are traveling the world, not really, we're just going to Germany, but we thought we would look into what other places do with cancer, what their statistics are, what the rates of cancer are there, and their healthcare options. Are you talking? So we're going to cover all of the continents and discuss healthcare in various locations. So I'm really excited about that, to learn about what is going on in the world and how we compare. You know, we know we've talked a lot about our inspiration from the UK and folks that we listen to there and follow. And they so we know a little bit about what's going on in the UK, but, you know, Europe is so much bigger than that. And then we're going to delve into Africa and South America and Asia and everything and find out what's happening. So we're really looking forward to that. But I think it's time to wrap, don't you? Oh, we're stretching. That means somebody wants something. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you sometime later. Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Down There Aware. Be sure to like and subscribe on our new YouTube channel, as well as on your favorite podcast platform. You can find us at Down There Aware on all social media sites, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. If you have it, we're there at Down There Aware. You can learn more on our website, www.downthereaware.com, and always get in touch with us, downthereaware@gmail.com. See you next week.